That's Chucho Valdez and the Afro-Cuban Messengers with Zawinul's Mambo. It's a reference to Joe Zawinul, who actually was Austrian and one heck of a keyboardist. He died, but this was their tribute to him. Chucho is a Cuban pianist, band leader, composer, and arranger whose career spanned, or has spanned, because I'm assuming he will give us a couple more decades, more than 50 years. He's the son of the legendary Bebo Valdez, who taught Chucho, his son, practically everything he knew. It's a great story. The two men who performed together many times with such mutual admiration and respect. This album won the Grammy Award for Best Latin Jazz Album in 2011. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I have to confess, I'm kind of hopping mad today. You'll shortly know why. But it will necessitate me moving away from the topic I originally intended. I had it all planned out, and just about 10 minutes ago, something else happened, and I decided that it is important to pause right here, right now, as this is unfolding before our eyes as a news story. What is that news story? The news story, and we go back to it because we covered that this actually, I think, a week or so ago. Philando Castile's family, that's the killing of this man in Minnesota, Philando Castile's family and Minnesota City reach a $3 million settlement in his death. And just as I was all set to do something else, this pops up as a major news item. And now we have to stop and talk about it. Because you're seeing a really nasty thread here being presented to us, all of us, as well, you know, here's the latest in this case. And another one down, and we move on to the next one. And indeed, there are others. And somewhere, we are going to have to say, this is the end of this. We've been talking about this way too long. It's got to end. It's got to stop. And yet it is not easy to stop it. What has to stop? Well, of course, these police killings. It's a simplistic thing to say that they ought to stop. But you see, when you look more closely at this problem that we've been having now for hundreds of years, literally, in this country. And we know the dynamics. Still, people are telling us there's so much more to be studied and learned. No. We've studied it enough, we've learned enough to say not one more. Not one more. What are the dynamics? We know them very well. Most often, it's somebody poor who is being shot or otherwise taken out of existence. The shooter, that is the police officer, more than often, is a male. as is the victim male. The officer or officers engaging in the execution of a person, and that's what it is. Let's not fiddle around with the word. It's an execution, a public execution. In that one moment is judge, jury, and executioner. More often than not, the police officer is white. The person he kills is African American or Latino American and poor. More often than not, if there is a trial, it would not be a criminal trial, it would be a civil trial. And leading up to the trial, we will get every piece of information that the person killed deserved to be killed. You know, the great Texas defense. Why did you kill that man? Because he needed killing. And it has gone on for so many years, and with such a consistent intensity, that we have been numbed. We have become numb to what is clearly indicated here. Black life, poor life, Latino life just doesn't count for much. Any police officer who comes out of an academy somewhere gets his hand on a gun and behaves no differently from a criminal with a gun and with bad intentions. And then the two meet, often in a scenario that doesn't require the police officer to use the gun right off the bat. But his fear, his poor training, leads him, in effect, to commit murder. And the system comes to his aid, gets him out of the fire, saves him, not the person he killed. There are all kinds of intriguing ways to explain why it is a citizen is lying there dead, and the person who killed him, because he wears a badge and carries a gun and wears a uniform, is really seen as the victim here. So today, it was announced not too long ago that the family of Philando Castile has been awarded a settlement of not quite $3 million, but close enough, so that they parade the family now. The whole family is assembled behind a microphone so that, by the way, while they are there, no police officer, no law enforcement official, no political official is present, just the family, to announce that justice has been done. They've settled, and that's it. Another life taken, and what they want us to do is to be not to be so concerned about it. Now, this comes as no surprise to you. I talked about it, and it turned out to be exactly the script. People want to know how you're such a, you know, like a prophet. How do you know how these things are going to happen? Because that's been the formula. Nobody's questioning the judgment and the actions of the police officer. Well, they did say, in effect, that he acted appropriately. And that's it. He was not charged with the crime of murder, of homicide. He was, as they'd see it, he was just doing his job. No mitigating factors whatsoever. No questions need to be asked as to whether the officer that killed Castile, Philando Castile, acted appropriately. Or did he act like just any other renegade, any other gangster with a gun? And I told you exactly what was going to happen. And maybe this is why I'm so angry, that we can predict these things. They have been in place for so long. We can actually write the script from beginning to end. And there's supposed to be no violence now. People are supposed to be all grown up about being executed in public by somebody with a uniform, a badge, and a gun. Yeah, that kind of, you know, well, you know, it would have been better if there wasn't a shooting. But look, the guy did the wrong thing. The lawful citizen did the wrong thing, and it cost him. He miscalculated. He's stupid. He had a right to know. And in most all of these cases, we see that the killer, that is the cop, is on duty between 0 and 5 years. We know all the statistics, for crying out loud. We know all of that. They reach for their handbook on how to get away with murder. What do you have to do to help a police officer get away with murder? In total violation of his trust. And also, we should add, this I consider an act against the state. Everybody should be offended when you have renegades on a police force running around, taking action at will, and killing people with the expectation. Now, when they do these things, it's not because, well, the situation became critical and there was no other way. It was with the expectation that he would get coverage by a department that is clearly under out of control. The first interest is not injustice. The first interest is in covering somebody's behind. It will always be the case that the person executed deserved it. He caused it. He caused a chain of reaction that concluded in his death. And had the police officer not been so keen, so good at doing his job, many more might have been killed. So we should be grateful that we have an errant officer with good judgment. The community is calm. Oh, yes. Because, as I told you, the agents have already done their job. And by agents, I'm talking about the interlocutors who come in the middle of all of this to demonstrate to the system that they could be depended upon. They have the skills to chill people out when it should be exactly the opposite. People should be livid at this barbarity. I mean, how is it that since it happened, but I'm going with the last week, since last week when I talked about it, I said chapter and verse. You know how angering it is that you can predict exactly what would happen because this is a well-known book. Exactly step by step what would happen, and the final thing that we should receive, you know, we should receive the news well. And so there should be no, you shouldn't be making any noise about it. There should be no further inquiry. This is done. Just shut the door and move on. I know there is a tape. We saw the tape. We heard the interaction. And we also heard the 7 shots. And a man is dying in front of his fiancée for no reason. Still following the law with his seatbelt on. Could you imagine this? And we are supposed to have no compassion, no sense of outrage, or no memory even of this incident. They throw you not even a full $3 million to the family, almost $3 million. You're done. Get out of here. Next. And then the next step comes with who gets how much. The family falls apart even more because they are not concerned about justice. They will be squabbling among themselves so much they will have no time or even interest in pursuing justice. That they will hand off to the community. Let the community handle that. But let's understand what happened here and why we should be outraged that this has been the consistent diet that we've been fed. Violence, state-sanctioned violence, state-instigated violence, state-covered violence. Where, in all of this, where are Philando Castile's rights, supposed rights, in the great land of freedom and democracy? What about him? What rights at this moment, this very moment, dead as he is, executed as he is by the state, because that's what the police officer represents. He is an agent of the state. He and his partner who was with him. They did not approach Philando Castile in that car as anything but a suspect. Why is he a suspect? Instantly a suspect? He's a black man. He's driving a car. And he's a suspect because he was not supposed to be where they were. They were looking to write tickets, beef up their quota, these cops. And the great crime he committed was he had a brake light that was out. How many people do we know? How many cases have we covered in which something minor quickly accelerates because it starts first? The acceleration is in the cop's mind. In any other environment, and we know this to be true, in any other environment, this is not going to be the nature of the transaction between the occupants of the vehicle and the officers approaching the vehicle. Okay, you have a brake light out. Since when is the penalty for having a brake light out, you know, execution in the middle of the street? And worse, everybody reacting to this is reacting with the baggage of history. This is supposed to happen. Black folks don't follow the law. They have to be kept in check, as Hillary Clinton said. They have to come to heel. And these two police officers, by virtue of wearing a badge and having a gun and are driving in a police car, they are no longer citizens. They are the agents of an execution. And everybody will get used to that. And they would say, okay, even his parents, even his own family will grow in time to accept this. They don't like it, but they'll accept it. Why? Because inevitably, it's going to come down to money. If you give me enough money, I will forget anything you want me to forget. Suddenly, my anger will dissipate. Yes, I will. I will come before the public and tell the public what a rotten thing this is and how nobody should go through what I'm going through. Meanwhile, pass the plate. They will begin to do things that you would say, my God, how could you insult the situation this way? I mean, this is somebody connected to you. What do you care about whatever money they put on the table? You know why they're putting the money on the table. And first of all, it's not much. $3 million, you would think, ooh, I've never had $3 million in my life. But that $3 million cost one of your own his life. And you're now paying only, you know, routine, you're only paying routine attention to the fact that this was a legalized murder. And every stage of it followed a book. The cops who killed, and especially the one cop who fired the 7 shots, That cop never faced criminal charges. This was not a case that resulted in a criminal conviction. If the world were fair, and if people observed the rules, as they absolutely do in certain cases, when the desired outcome, the predictable outcome, should be, yes, Castillo should not be able to walk away from an encounter with the law alive. He did everything he was supposed to do by the book. He had a weapon. It was registered. He advised the officer, pointing a gun at him, that he had a pistol. He had a license for it. He was supposedly protected by the law, wasn't he? And who claimed his life? The law. And now that the police officer has been executioner and judge and jury, he gets to walk away from what instantly should have become a major investigation, because the taxpayer money, including Castile's taxpayer money, that pays the officer that executes him, we should be outraged about this. And it becomes a matter now for study and training and small articles and blah, blah, blah. But that's what I want to show you. And I maintain in almost every single instance, in almost every sector of life, the racism is so deep, you automatically have to assume that a different set of books, a different set of values, will be governing whatever it is you are looking at or researching or going into or in some way trying to advocate in behalf of the person aggrieved. We're operating on two entirely different kinds of histories here. But though there are two different histories that came together that day, there is one imperative. That no matter what, the outcome must favor the state. The wrongdoing must be covered up. The state could never, ever be charged with a crime. And don't we have a district attorney? Yes, we do, in Minnesota. Don't we have officers higher up, who should take it upon himself or herself to personally go to the place where this tragedy occurred and write your own report, come up with your own assessment? That doesn't happen, because the chain of command has already set the ritual. Yeah, you go up to do a little thing, you ask question here and a question there, but essentially that police officer and the whole apparatus, they all understand that that police officer committing that atrocity is not to be brought to justice. Now, if I know that, why don't the lawyers for the family know that? If you are going to represent, vigorously represent the family, that's where you start. You have a black man. He's dead for no good reason. And you are going to apply the same imbalanced or unbalanced law to the same situation. You're crazy. But as I said from the very beginning, people understood that in a case like this, you're going to have what for them is a massive payout. It isn't a massive payout. And look at the cases we've discussed. In none of these cases was the payout in accordance with the level and the atrocity of the crimes committed by these officers. $3 million, what's that going to do for you? And how could anybody persuade you to go along with some kind of a table, some mathematical table that says, well, we judge the value of Michael Griffith's life to be X amount. And they all, if anybody knows anything, I also predicted the top that they could get is $3 million. I told you that. And if they get the $3 million, you get out your calculator, and all you need is that minus sign. You need do no further calculations, because everything is to be deducted from whatever it is they tell you. Your lawyers have to get their fees. Cha-ching, that's done. That's less depending on what they see as their value. So this $3 million is a way of saying, you know you're not worth much. We are already stretching our charity and saying, okay, we'll give you $3 million. And they negotiate that. That is negotiated up front. Every police department has its own rules that they negotiate as to what the cap will be in any district with their insurance company. So that everybody's worth maybe $3 million, maybe. And under no circumstances is anybody worth more than that, either due to the heinousness of the crime or due to the legitimate demands that could be made in terms of how this person died. In a white community, they're open to negotiation. And negotiation is very, very rough. Tough negotiation, because their lives have value. What is the value of a black man in America or a Latino compared to your average white person? And in both cases, the understanding is, again, that the officer or officers involved will enjoy the benefits of being an officer. The prosecutor will understand that the person before him is an officer. The judge will understand the same. If you think that these people are going to upset the apple cart in the defense of the rights of a person of color, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. We've known this for decades. I covered a case where a white officer shoots a black officer. They're both on the job.
Trees. I'm rejoining you. We have hurricane season here, and out of nowhere, you just get a ridiculous bolt of lightning and thunder, and you'd get lots and lots of rain. I was just a victim of that sudden surge that knocked me out. Makes life a little bit more interesting, wouldn't you say? But it is a pain in the butt. It really is. So I was talking about the fact that in cases like these, a new set, you're not seeing it, but you know it's there. And the imperative is to protect everybody who's in law enforcement. It is not about looking for justice. It is not about a thorough investigation. It is not about securing and defending the constitutional rights and protections of the person who has been killed by police. How many stories have I done where the promises of the Justice Department and people have to fight like hell just to get the Justice Department involved? And if they come in, they are the chums of the people who on the local level supposedly are investigating. We have seldom seen any criminal prosecutions of police officers who have done this kind of excessive force and who have killed citizens. That is not supposed to be the arrangement. You know, you had Eric Holder coming in, the first black, you know, Justice Department head, and everybody's all delirious with joy because now there will be a change. Now, there is no change. He comes in and he says, well, you know, the threshold is so high, not even we at the Justice Department can do it. Asinine stuff like this. They should be ashamed to be in public. You have Loretta Lynch, who follows Eric Holder, who toes the same line. Well, we can't, we took our time and we were very careful in examining the facts of the case, and we regret that much of this case is outside of our authority. Well, whose authority is it then? And are you, by consistently taking this position, aren't you telling people, look, if you want justice, you're going to have to do this yourself? Yes, we know it's illegal, but within the legal context of the law, I cannot, as the highest law enforcement official in the country, I can't do anything for you. So what therefore are you saying to people? What is the system saying to people? So I come to the conclusion that when these things happen, there is another plan that they wish to implement. And the other plan that they wish to implement is to get people to take matters into their own hands, which gives them yet another excuse to escalate the attack. That's what they want. They're saying also that they have no further obligation or have no obligation at all to justice. We saw so many instances, and we talked about this just last week, the corruption of the criminal justice system. So the time has come, it seems to me, to do some community education here. One, to protect people. because there are many layers to the actions of police after, before and after a crime they commit. Before the crime, there's it's manifested in intent, how they proceed with, quote, enforcing the law, unquote. And if that should go the way it is supposed to go by script, which is it should goad people, it should tempt people to cross the line as well, so that there you are. You have a legitimate reason for police shooting. And then it is the person who originally is the aggrieved party. Now they, the script is flipped, and that person now becomes the target of prosecution if he's lucky. Because the ultimate goal is to put the person down. You won't have to worry about credibility of testimony. You don't have to worry about, you know, a deep investigation as to what happened. You will have the police version. It comes then before the so-called court of justice. The prosecutor is looking, if the person survives, the prosecutor is looking for a fast conviction, a notch on his or her belt. And if the person has been killed in the course of the law enforcement officer discharging his duties, you have to work as the investigator to cover it up as quickly as possible. The judge knows that whichever way the prosecutor wants it to go, the judge is the supervisor of the cover-up. So people of color aren't getting a fair shake. And it would be crazy for anybody to ignore the pattern. There is a pattern. Most importantly, we need to understand this. And we need to start challenging these families who are in absolute distress. We get that. But who also are falling down and on the job. You know, when the quote-unquote advisors show up, and in advising them what to do, they have a whole other agenda, at least two other agendas that they're following, neither of which will yield actual justice. They want their piece of the pie. They come around like vultures, feeding on the carcass of the dead person whose rights they ought to be fighting for. The lawyers are hustling these people, trying to hurry them up to, you know, push them towards settlement quickly. Settle, settle. They're not interested in justice. And it's a matter of everybody in this vulture festival, everybody just angling to get their little piece. We got to take that on. It has to be known. And then it comes to us, the so-called public. We feel better about marching. We consider that a contribution to a solution to a problem, a very real problem. And we come with it to it with great and fair-minded hearts. We're very angry because this is something that should have been solved a long time ago. But we come with an earnest desire that by our presence, we blunt the full force of the chicanery that is going on behind the scenes, and in a way protect the family. But we're losing ground there. We're losing ground. We talked last week about 13 black families in Louisiana. 13. Who were encouraged to settle, with cops who were renegades running all over the street killing people at will, knowing that the department will leave them alone. And the terms of settlement for 13 families killed by police officers, including one officer who shot his victim and then put the man in the back of a vehicle and burned the body so as to destroy evidence. I mean, what kind of barbaric behavior is that? And they say to these 13 families that they paid off together, you know, we have a heart, we know you've been suffering, and that's not the point. We have hearts too, and we want these police officers prosecuted to the highest level of the law. They haven't been, because part of the terms of settlement is that you shut up and you put on blinders. Your aggrieved family is then aggrieved twice. We've got to stop kidding about this. We see the move toward total authoritarianism. The police state is here. You have to look too far. It is here. And that's what we have to engage in, confronting the rise of the police state. But then it has become an industry. It has become an industry. I am encouraged by the fact that especially the young people have gotten that message already. In the midst of the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Jesse Jackson and his sidekick, Al Sharpton, had shown up for a rally. Rally means money. That's what you need to understand. They get to insert themselves in a very tragic situation. They insinuate themselves. Many times they're called, but many times it's an opportunity. So called or not, they show up to make some money, some fast money. And the young people told them to get out. Now, they thought that these are young punks. We don't have to worry about them. But yes, they did have to worry about them, because they had seen Jackson's and Sharpton's modus operandi. It was so clear. And they did this, attempted before, in the church. Well, you know, the family is suffering is going through a very rough time, and we must come forward at this time and as generously as we can to help the family. The family didn't ask for help in that sense. and a wonderful, a very vigorous response fills the bucket, more than one bucket. And then publicly, they all do this in public, somebody on their staff is directed to take the collection off screen, as it were. And that's the last you'll see of that money. It's carefully choreographed. When the money goes backstage, Fred or Bobby knows exactly what to do. And if they collected, let's say, $10,000, you'd be lucky if $50 ends up with the family. We know these things. That's the sad part about self-exploitation. We have a community that has such awful leadership. They step in at the right time, talking the right language. But just like the police officer that fired that shot at Fernando Castillo, they've been firing shots at their own communities for many years, robbing them blind, misleading them for personal gain. So folks, let's do this. Let's see what the elements are of any situation like this, and to what degree people from our own community are contributing to are adding to the horror, exploiting an awful situation. Let's confront all those who potentially have responsibility here as supervisors or as officials who can make changes and stand up for true justice. And let us, in our own way, stand up for our brothers and sisters who truly deserve to be honored in a way where we say, we are your brothers, we are your sisters, and we are standing to defend your name. That's our job. And we should get to it. Thanks for listening to me today. As I said, I had planned to do a whole different program, but it really hit me so hard today. And I got so angry. But it's not good just to be angry. You have to direct your anger. You have to discipline yourself about how you work with your anger. It could be very helpful if you do that, to direct your anger purposefully. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories, at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege. I mean that, to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.